Bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you again, pray, O God, that you would give us the words to speak, that you would give us the manner in which to hear them, and to realize the coming of your kingdom is very near. Pray, O God, that you will help us to see this and to live for you each day. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through verse 30. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Luke 17, beginning at verse 20. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there.' For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you." Then he said to the disciples, "The days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look here,' or 'Look there.' Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part of under heaven shines onto the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. You know, it's kind of strange to think that here the Pharisees were coming to Christ and they said, "When is your kingdom going to come?" They were looking, of course, at the kingdom in which Christ would rise up and do away with the Roman tyranny that they were living under. And they were looking at this and they were asking Christ then, "If you are who you say you are, certainly you will free us as slaves and under the rule of Romans. And therefore, we will have our own kingdom and we will be that special people that God wanted us to be when he chose us under Abraham." And Jesus gives them an answer that maybe they aren't ready to expect, or one that they didn't know how to receive. And so he says, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation." In plain words, you aren't going to see me rising up and getting people to follow me and go and attack the Romans and free you guys from the slavery or from the tyranny that the Romans have you under today. I am the Son of God, and I will take and have my kingdom, but it's not of this world. My kingdom is the one in eternity, and the one in which when you leave this world, you will either be in my kingdom or you will be in the kingdom of the devil or Lucifer, Satan himself. And they did not understand that. And of course, the reason why they didn't want their changes in their laws, because they had changed so many laws, it was man-made and it was things, if you kept all these laws, that the Pharisees and Sadducees had written, you were a good man and or a person and you were going to go to heaven because after all, you were keeping all the laws of Moses, so they thought. And Christ told them even before that you are doing all these things man's way and not God's way. And so we see here Jesus is telling them too that if you have me as your personal Lord and Savior, I will send you the Holy Spirit. He will live in you. He will guide you. He will give you my peace, which the world cannot give. And he will help you to live for me and to glorify me. And you should be saying then, Lord, take me and use me as your servant. And as your servant, do with me what you would be willing to do and how you would want me to live for you, that in the end, people would see you in me and glorify you. That, Lord Jesus, you get all the glory, I get none, because you have come into the world and you have saved me from my sin and from going to hell and damnation. That in and of itself is payment more than I could expect because you so loved the world and God had done this even before the foundation of the world was set up, that salvation was planned in this order. We see now in both of our Old Testament texts where Jesus, it talks about Jesus coming and he'll have the wisdom and knowledge that he needs. He will come in with a vengeance upon those who refuse to listen. Now, Christ came the first time, and he came peaceably. He came as a person of peace, one that's trying to show God's love for the world and how God so loved the world that he gave all that he had, his only begotten Son, to come and die for us on the cross of Calvary. Then he tells his disciples, he says, the days are coming when people will tell you, you know, Christ is here or Christ is there. And we can look at the world today and we see people that will claim that they are the Christ or that they have been sent because they have taken and said Christ didn't finish the job. And so this is one of the things that we have one religion, I can't remember the name of it, but Pastor Moon is in charge of it. And he says, I have come to finish what Christ started because he became radical and he couldn't finish it. Then we have the Unification Church, which one of their beliefs is they will not use the name Jesus or God because he is so supreme when we talk about him. We can't use his name, and we have no right to even mention his name. And then you would say, well, how do I know who you are talking about? How do I know if you're not talking about somebody else when you refuse to use the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, or that you refuse to use the word of God himself because he is almighty and he is the one that we are to worship and he's the one that we are to esteem and sing praises to and to uphold with all of our life. You know, I have often wondered and I asked one person, how can you do this? Oh, we have to talk in such a way that you know who I'm talking about, but I cannot use his name because of his, where he sits and of his prominence. And so many people would say, well, we're talking about him. We're talking about the man upstairs. But who is that man? He is God Almighty. He sent his Son into the world to die for you and for me. And we can use that to make people understand that we have Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and our personal Savior within our life, and that we are willing to stand up for him and we're willing to suffer for him if need be. We see many Christians today who are being beheaded and killed because they will not reject Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And then we wonder why we are being maybe punished sometimes. We sit there and we feel, you know, people are picking on me and people are doing this or that. Now they have started a new law within the United States itself. And in that law, it says that the schools can start teaching the young students that they can understand that they may be transgender or something else. And nobody can tell them they're wrong. And if they do, those people that says they're wrong can be punished by law. We say, what's happening to our government? God has taken and turned over many people to their own thoughts and their own minds because men think they can do it better than God. We see God is allowing sin to prove itself as sinful, and man is wanting to go along with his own way. And we see that Jesus says, you know, the Son of Man will be crucified and he has to suffer many things before he comes the second time. And when he comes the second time, he will be coming as lightning flashing across the face of the earth. And all eyes will see him, even those that pierced him, and that all people will confess with their mouth, and they will bow their knees before Jesus Christ, because he is the Lord of lords and King and King and King of kings and Lord of lords. And he will be the one that comes with his rewards for those who serve him, and those who don't serve him will be punished in everlasting fire. We see that, and Jesus says, there are many things I must suffer before this happens and through this generation. And we see how Jesus suffered for us, how he suffered before Pontius Pilate, and how he suffered before the people of that day, and how they made fun of him, and how they tried to trick him and to do everything they could to make him look like he wasn't the Son of God. And yet he stood up for them, and he accepted all his punishment, and he even prayed for those that were doing him harm, even unto his dying day. And when he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and he's making intercession there for you and for me. But we see too that he also told his disciples it would be as in the days of Noah. They were eating, they were drinking, they were giving in marriage and marrying, and they were doing all these other things that man would do today even. And can you imagine back in those days it had never rained, and here a man is out there out in the dry ground maybe building this great big boat. I think it was something like 450 feet wide and 3 stories high, and it's big enough to hold all these animals. And how much fun they must have made of him and his family, and it took them about 100 years to build it. And then as they made fun of him and as they were doing all of these things, Noah and his family still worshiped the Lord God Almighty. And God told them to enter into the ark, and it says God himself shut the door so that nobody could get in or out. And Noah and his sons and their wives and family was saved in this water that came when the deep fountains of the earth opened up, and it came up from the bottom as well as from the sky, and we had flood that covered the highest peaks by about 18 cubits, it tells us, which would be around 25 to 30 feet of water. Nobody could live. They did not realize what was happening. In the days of Noah, he says, they were doing the same thing. They were eating and drinking and carrying on and buying and selling. And when the angels came into Sodom and they went to Lot's house, and they says, and told Lot what was going to go on and what was going to happen. And the people of the city, it says, they came onto Lot's house, and they says, bring out those strangers you had so that we can treat them and do to them like we would want to. And they were in the homosexual lifestyle at that time, very, very much so. And it's the same thing as what we would see even in chapter 1 of Romans today. And I want to read just a few verses out of Romans to show of what's happening back then as well as today. And we see that they were blinded. And when Lot and his family went out of Sodom and they were told to flee out of there, and fire and brimstone came down and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet we see even out of those four people that left, one turned back and became a pillar of salt. And God is telling us the same thing. If we're walking with the Lord and we turn back and we trample underfoot the Word of God and the mercy and grace that God has given us, do we expect kindness out of Him? We should expect only tyranny and punishment because we have trodden underfoot the Word of God. And we are told that we would pay for this if this is what we do. And if we would start, I'm going to start at verse 20 on Romans chapter 1. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made of corruptible man, birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their heart, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. He gave them up, and He says, you know, if this is how you are going to live, you go ahead and live that way, and I will pull my Spirit out from among you. And when He did that, He says, if you want to come back, you come back to Me and pray and ask Me to renew My Holy Spirit within you. And Saul had that. If we see that, the Spirit of God left him twice because of his wrongdoings and that he would not listen to God Himself. And then it goes on and says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen, Paul says. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased or reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting. And then it goes on and it tells that they were filled with unrighteousness and so forth. And then we go down to verse 32, and it says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And this is how we see the world today in our own lifetime, in our own country even, that they are taking and saying these things are all right. We have no right to condemn them. Maybe we shouldn't condemn the person. We condemn their lifestyle. And we have the right to tell them that unless they come and accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they will be lost forever. And it tells us that so very, very plainly. Matthew 24, it tells us if anyone says that we are to look and to go and see and find Christ. We realize Christ comes in the Holy Spirit into us as we accept him as our personal Lord and Savior. And when he comes again, he will come on his horse. It tells us in Revelation that he will come on his white horse, and the army of heaven will follow him. And in his mouth is his two-edged sword, and he will speak the word, and he will destroy those who are destroying the earth, and he will destroy those who do not want to accept what he has done or what he has given himself for us, that we could have eternal life. Are we willing to stand up for Jesus Christ? Are we willing to do what we must do to have Christ first and foremost in all that we say or do? Or are we sitting there on the fence and saying, you know, I don't know if I should speak to someone. If the Spirit tells you to speak, then you should speak. As husbands and wives, do we converse with one another? As friends, do we converse with each other? And as families, do we converse with one another so that our loved ones will know that they have to have Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and that if they don't, they will be lost? How serious are we then for having Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior? He's coming again, and when he comes, he will bring his reward with him. And when he brings that reward with him, there will not be a second chance to accept Jesus as the personal Lord and Savior if you haven't done it in this life. It is that we have to do it as Christians, as Christian parents and Christian adults, as Christian children. We should be willing to stand up for him, even though we may suffer for a short time here, as Paul said, that my suffering here doesn't amount to much when I look into eternity and know that I will have the crown of life. You see, we have to look then and say, what's more important, today or eternity? And we have to be willing not only to pray to God to help us to be witnesses for him, but be willing to stand up for him regardless where we are or what people might say to us. And, you know, sometimes it's very, very difficult, and yet we see that it is something that has to be done. We pray the Lord's Prayer, and we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And yet we don't want to forgive those who have wronged us. And we wonder why God won't bless us or answer our prayers sometimes. You know, as we see this, we see too that Jesus said, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. And as they're added unto you, they will also bless you and help you to live for him day by day and go through the trials that this life might produce, to keep in prayer those of our loved ones, those of our neighbors, be willing, helping us to be willing to stand up for Christ and Christ alone in all that he has done for us, that people would be able to see Jesus in us and glorify him. This is what Christ wants us to do. That is, in the days of Lot and in the days of Noah, that they stood up for God, and yet God is saying, are you going to do that for me today? We see a lot of the same things going on in the world, and we can go through a lot of them, and yet will it help us? We know what's going on. We can see. Do we pray for our leaders? Do we pray for our country? And do we pray for ourselves and our loved ones? Our prayer is that we would do this and that they would all have Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that in heaven we can have that great reunion with all Christians and our families would all be there loving the Lord Jesus too and serving him forever. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with us, watch over us and keep us, and help us, O God, that as we go about our business, that we would serve you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen.